For the past four Sundays, we've been in the book of Ruth. And as we looked at the book of Ruth, I shared with you this series of messages called There's a Redeemer. And as I said with you throughout that series of messages, the purpose was to see an example of a Redeemer in the book of Ruth and then move on and move closer to Easter and look at the Redeemer, look at our God's Son, Jesus, who was sent to be the Redeemer of mankind. In the book of Ruth, Boaz, he serves as a Redeemer for one. He serves as a Redeemer for Ruth, the widow who lost her husband. He serves as a Redeemer for a family because of his grace and because of the things that Boaz did, he was able to allow a family name to continue and to go forward. And all of that, as we read last week and as we concluded the book of Ruth and then looked into the New Testament in the book of Matthew, we saw there that all of that, what was going on during the time of Judges when things were so bad in society and culture that day, it was all part of God's plan for redemption. The Nelson Study Bible says that the story of Boaz's redemption of a foreign woman points to Jesus' great redemption of all those who would believe in Him. As we think about our own lives, we think about our lives as sinners. We were foreigners. We were strangers to God because we had not yet accepted the redemption that would come through the blood of Jesus. Graciously, in the New Testament, we learn, we come to know who the Redeemer is. And that's really kind of the focus of this morning's message. As we continue this series titled, There's a Redeemer, this morning I want to focus in on coming to know the Lamb of God. I don't know if you picked up on it when we looked at the words there in John 1, but John the Baptist said about Jesus, he said, I did not know Him. Each of us has to admit that there was a time in our lives when we could say the same thing that John did. We could say that I did not know Jesus. I did not know the Christ. I did not know the Lamb of God. Think about who John was. John was Jesus' cousin. But yet he said here, he said in the Word, he said, I did not know Him. We have a tendency to ask the question, well, I wonder why the Jews of the New Testament, I wonder why they didn't know who Jesus was. We forget that there was a time when we didn't know who Jesus was. We ask how the Jews didn't know who Jesus was. And then as we read in these Gospels, we read that really those even closest to Jesus, they didn't know who He was. And we forget that there was a time when we didn't know who Jesus was. Coming to know the Lamb of God. Before we leave today, I'm going to come back to that idea. I'm going to come back to that idea of, do you really know the Lamb of God? Because it's clear as we look through the Gospels, it's clear that there were Jews that didn't know who Jesus was. It's clear that there were those who knew Jesus, who walked alongside of Him, who didn't know who Jesus was. And it would be my prayer that none of us would find ourselves today knowing Jesus, but not really knowing the Lamb of God. Let's look back to verse 29. In verse 29, John the Baptist makes this bold proclamation about who Jesus is. And it's really important for us to think about the words that John the Baptist is sharing here and the ideas and the imagery that it might conjure up in the minds of those who hear what he has to say. In verse 29, the next day John saw Jesus coming toward him and said, Behold, exclamation point, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Another exclamation point. John is making powerful statements here about who Jesus is. This verse begins with the next day. in the first couple of chapters here of the book of John, we see that phrase again and again, the next day, the next day, the next day. And it should make us wonder about, well, what happened the day before? Well, here as we get to verse 29, the next day, and if you look back, and we'll look back at some of these verses in a few minutes here, but if you look back, for instance, at like verse 19 through 28, you see there that the day before John makes this proclamation, people came to John the Baptist and they wanted to know, who are you? Because there were those who thought that John the Baptist might be the Christ. And so they came to him and they said, who are you? And what's your mission and what's your purpose? And in many ways, John had to defend himself. He had to defend his ministry. Because let's face it, John the Baptist was a little bit of a different fella. He wasn't clean shaven. He probably wasn't clean. He ate bugs. He ate locusts. He lived out in the wilderness. But yet he's preaching this message and people come to him and they say, who are you? What are you doing? And one of the things that he says to them is he says, there is one coming that is greater than I. I appreciate the humility of John. John had gathered up quite a following of people. He had gotten quite a reputation, but yet whenever he was asked who he was, he gave the attention to that one who was coming after him, that one that he was not worthy in his eyes. The next day, John said, behold, the Lamb of God. Now we hear that phrase, and as Christians, sometimes we're not able to be stirred by the word like we should be. But when John said, behold the Lamb of God to the children of Israel, we need to think about what that might have conjured up, what that might have caused them to think about in their minds. Because the image of a lamb was very powerful to them. You know, when we think about a lamb today, we think about a big ball of fuzz. You know, we think about that cute little lamb that grows up into something really ugly. At least I think they're ugly when they're sheep. But as a lamb, I mean, you can't get anything that's a whole lot cuter than that. It seems like a baby, anything's cute, but a little lamb, I mean, that thing is just cute. And that's what we think about. But to the people of Israel, to say that Jesus was the Lamb, that would have really made them think about a lot of things in their history. So let's do a little history lesson today. Let's go to the book of Genesis, in Genesis chapter 22. Genesis chapter 22, and this is going to come to life in your mind as I read these verses. You're going to know where we are if you don't know what Genesis 22 is. But in Genesis 22, verse 7, but Isaac spoke to Abraham his father and said, my father. And he said, here I am, my son. Then he said, look, the fire and the wood. But where's the lamb for the burnt offering? The Jews who knew the word of God so well, I wonder if anybody thought about this when John the Baptist said, behold the lamb. And you remember, Abraham had been asked by God to sacrifice his son. And his son looked at him and understood the steps that went into sacrifice. And he said, Dad, we've got the wood, we've got the fire, but Daddy, where's the lamb? Not knowing that God had called for Isaac to be that lamb. Verse 8 says, and Abraham said, my son, God will provide for himself the lamb for a burnt offering. So the two of them went together. And we know how this goes. We know that God provided that ram caught in the thicket. And Abraham didn't have to offer his son. But yet God would offer his as the lamb for me and you. The image of a lamb. Let's go to Exodus chapter 12. In Exodus chapter 12, you know this too, as we start to read Exodus chapter 12, you're going to be, oh yeah, I remember this image of the lamb. This is after the plagues had began in Egypt. And Pharaoh would not let God's people go. And God, in chapter 12, verse 3, God said, "Speak to all the congregation of Israel, saying, on the 10th of this month, every man shall take for himself a lamb, according to the house of his father, a lamb for a household." Verse 5, "Your lamb shall be without blemish, a male of the first year. You may take it from the sheep or from the goats." And we know what happens here. That cute little lamb, that cute little kid goat, was sacrificed. It was a perfect lamb. It was a lamb without blemish. It was sacrificed, and that blood was put over the doorpost so that when the angel came near, that the angel would pass over that house and allow that firstborn son to live there in that home. In Egypt, that little lamb without blemish, that little lamb without spot, laid down his life so that others might live. John said, "Behold, the Lamb of God, Jesus, that one without blemish, without spot, without sin, would lay down his life, would spill out his blood so that you and I might have forgiveness of sin." Those are history. Let's go to the book of Isaiah. The book of Isaiah was a book of prophecy. And as John the Baptist said, "Behold the Lamb of God," I wonder if anybody thought about the prophecy of Isaiah in Isaiah 53:7. "He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He was led as a lamb to the slaughter. And as a sheep before its shears is silent, so he opened not his mouth. Behold the Lamb of God." Behold the lamb that was led to slaughter. Behold the sheep whose mouth remained silent. For John the Baptist to say that Jesus was the Lamb of God, that was quite a statement. And that image of a lamb, it should have caused the people of Israel to think. It should cause you and I to think today in a way that maybe we've not thought about this before, that when we think about Jesus as the Lamb, think about how God spared Isaac. Think about how God asked for the life of that one without blemish, that little lamb in Egypt. And think about God's plan and how He would provide His own Son to be the Lamb of God. But John wasn't done. John said, "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." John makes a powerful statement about the Lamb. He says that this Lamb is going to provide forgiveness for sin. Staying there in the book of Isaiah, in Isaiah 53:10, look at what the prophecy said. The prophecy said that that Lamb, in verse 7, would come and would take away the sin of the world. In Isaiah 53:10, "Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He has put him to grief. When you make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed. He shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. And he shall see the labor of his soul and be satisfied. By his knowledge, my righteous servant shall justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities." We see it there, that the Lamb that would come would justify many, that the Lamb that would come would bear their iniquities. Behold, the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. J. Vernon McGee says that John the Baptist marks Jesus out here. He says about Jesus that he's the complete Savior because he takes away sin. The next day, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." Now to verse 30 in John 1. After making this bold declaration, John makes an admission. And he makes an admission that many of us, we don't like to make admissions like this, because we don't want to admit that there's things that we don't know. But yet after saying that Jesus was the Lamb of God, Jesus was the one who would take away the sins of the world, this is what John the Baptist said, verse 30. This is he of whom I said, after me comes a man who is preferred before me, for he was before me. I did not know him, but that he should be revealed to Israel. Therefore I came baptizing with water. John had just got done saying who Jesus is. Jesus is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. But then he turns around and he says, look, folks, I have to admit to you that I didn't know that. I didn't know who he was. And you know, here's something that you and I can relate to, because as I said a little while ago, as sinners, there was a time in our lives whenever we did not know who Jesus was. We may have heard about him, we may have even believed he was the Son of God, but we did not know him. And John, he makes that very statement. He says, I might have just said he's the Lamb of God, but I didn't know who he was. But I did know this. Look back to verse 26. In verse 26, this is whenever John was being asked, who are you? What are you doing? John answered the religious leaders and he said, I baptize with water, but there stands one among you whom you do not know. There's a whole lot of people that don't know who Jesus is. Verse 27, it is he who coming after me is preferred before me, whose sandal strap I am not worthy to loose. John said, you don't know him, I don't know him, but I know this much about him. I know he's so great that I'm not even worthy to reach down and unbuckle his sandals. And John goes on, and he says, I didn't know him, but I knew that he would be revealed. I mean, that's what prophecy said. That's what Scripture foretold, that there would come a time when it would be revealed to people exactly who Jesus was. But I want you to think about John saying, I didn't know him. Let's go back to the book of Luke, in Luke chapter 1. We're going to be all over the place this morning. But in Luke chapter 1, and we'll read a couple of verses here, maybe not all the ones I have up there, but in John chapter 1, verse 13, but the angel said to him, do not be afraid, Zacharias, for your prayer is heard, and your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you shall call his name John. This is the John we're reading about today. We're reading about John the Baptist, and in the book of Luke, we learn that Zacharias and Elizabeth are going to have a son. His name will be John. And now we'll read a little bit ahead here. Let's go to verse 39. In verse 39, now Mary, mother of Jesus, arose in those days and went into the hill country with haste to the city of Judah and entered the house of Zacharias and greeted Elizabeth. And it happened when Elizabeth heard the greeting of Mary that the babe leaped in her womb and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. So we're just climbing the family tree here a little bit, folks. And we're climbing the family tree here a little bit to remember what John just said. John said, this is Jesus, and I didn't know him. Now, what he didn't know, and I don't know how much time John and Jesus might have spent together growing up, maybe none. But if Elizabeth knew Mary well enough that Mary went to visit, John at least had to have some knowledge of this child of Joseph and Mary named Jesus. But there was something that he didn't know. He knew Jesus as the son of Mary and Joseph, but he did not yet know that Jesus was the Son of God. Imagine. Let's just put ourselves in that situation of being a close relative of somebody that turned out to be the Son of God, and we missed it, and we just missed it completely. Now think about that in the more important context. Going through life, knowing about this Jesus, but yet not really knowing who he is. John, as he continues here, he said, you know, I didn't know him, but I knew that he would be revealed. And he said, I came baptizing with water. I'm sure that John had a lot of questions. He had a lot of questions about who this one was going to be that would come after him. But in spite of those questions, do you notice what he did here? He kept doing the work that he had been called to do. Look back at verse 23 in John 1. Jesus said to the religious leaders, he said, "I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness, make straight the way of the Lord, as the prophet Isaiah said." John was trying to tell these religious leaders who he was, and he said, "Look, I've come to prepare the way. I've come to prepare the way for that one that I don't know, that you don't know. I'm that voice. I'm the one preparing the way. I'm the one baptizing with water. Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." But I didn't know him. John's not done saying he didn't know him. In verse 32, "And John bore witness, saying, I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and he remained upon him. I did not know him. But he who sent me to baptize with water said to me, upon whom you see the Spirit descending and remaining on him, this is he who baptizes with the Holy Spirit." For some reason, the Gospel of John leaves out the baptism of Jesus. I don't know why that is. Because somewhere here in the course of these verses is where the baptism of Jesus would have occurred and what had happened. Because what we see here in these verses is we see that John the Baptist, as his words are recorded here, he clearly describes how he came to know who Jesus was. So hold your place here. I told you we're going all over the place. Let's go back to Matthew's gospel and let's get a little glimpse of that baptism since John didn't share it with us. But in Matthew chapter 3, we read the events that John is describing here in John chapter 1. John the Baptist said, I was out there doing what I was supposed to be doing. I was out there baptizing with water, but the one, God spoke to me and said, the one that you see the Spirit come and rest upon, that's the one who's coming after you. And in Matthew 3, verse 16, "When he had been baptized, Jesus came up immediately from the water, and behold, the heavens were opened to him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting upon him. And suddenly a voice came from heaven saying, 'This is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased.'" If John didn't see the Spirit, John heard the Word, and he heard the voice of God saying, "This is my Son in whom I'm well pleased." John didn't know him. But it became crystal clear. John says, "I saw the Spirit." The Spirit came and the Spirit lighted on him and the Spirit stayed on him. And John, right after that, he said, "I didn't know him, but the one who sent me told me that I'd get a word, that I'd see, that I'd know." And there in John 1, John the Baptizer says, "This one that's come after me, he doesn't baptize with water like I do. He baptizes with the Holy Spirit." Chuck Swindoll says that John could have put it this way. He could have said, "The genuine source of truth has arrived, and he baptizes with eternal life." When John spoke and said earlier, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world," he's identifying the Lamb of God who can bring eternal life to those who would choose to believe in him. Behold the Lamb of God. I didn't know him. John continues with that theme saying, "I didn't know him." But look at verse 34, because John, he knows him now. It's very clear to John who Jesus is. In verse 34, "And I have seen and testified that this is the Son of God." Again, the next day, John stood with two of his disciples, and looking at Jesus as he walked, he said, "Behold, the Lamb of God." John has quite a testimony. And he's going to continue to share it. And in verse 34, he says, "This is the Son of God." A little bit ago, we were thinking about how that phrase, the Lamb of God, would have set with some folks. It might have caused them to think about Abraham and Isaac. It might have caused them to think about the Passover lamb in Egypt. It might have caused them to think about the prophecies of old. But I want you to think about how it would sit with people if Jesus was identified as the Son of God. To many people, especially to the religious leaders, they would have been angered by the fact that somebody would have spoken, somebody would have declared Jesus as the Son of God. Think about people's reactions to that statement today, that Jesus is the Son of God. People would argue with that today. They would deny it. They wouldn't believe it. And it was even greater then because there was Jesus in the flesh. He was the Son of God. But to those that came to know the Lamb, to those that came to know indeed who Jesus was, they would believe it. Flip your page to verse 48 in chapter 1, and I want you to see how quickly a believer could come to know that Jesus was the Son of God. In verse 48, Nathanael, one of Jesus' disciples, said to him, "How do you know me?" Jesus answered and said to him, "Before Philip called you, when you were under the fig tree, I saw you." Nathanael answered and said to him, "Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel." Jesus answered and said to him, "Because I said to you, I saw you under a fig tree, do you believe? You will see greater things than these." John said, "Behold, the Son of God." To those that really had a desire, to those that wanted to come to know Jesus, they would know Him as God's Son. The next day, John repeated what he had said the day before. He said, "Behold, the Lamb of God." John repeats who he now knows Jesus to be. The Nelson Study Bible says, "Jesus Christ is the Lamb of God, is the Lamb that God would give as a sacrifice for the sins, not only of Israel, but for the whole world." And what did John say? "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world." John could have said, "I didn't know Him, but I have come to know the Lamb of God." As we close this morning, I want you to think about that question. Do you know the Lamb of God? As we started this morning, I started with the question, you know, we often wonder why the Jews couldn't know who Jesus was. But the truth of the matter is that those that were closest to Jesus, they really didn't know who He was either. One last scripture. If you go with me to the book of Mark, in Mark chapter 8. I think we've now hit all the Gospels this morning. But in Mark chapter 8, there's this interesting exchange between Jesus and His disciples where He asks them, "Who do men say that I am?" And then He turns that question, He says, "Who do you say that I am?" And I want us to focus in on what's being said here about what the disciples really know. Mark 8, verse 27, "Now Jesus and His disciples went out of the towns of Caesarea and Philippi, and on the road He asked His disciples, saying to them, 'Who do men say that I am?' So they answered, 'John the Baptist, but some say Elijah, and others one of the prophets.' He said to them, 'But who do you say that I am?' Peter answered and said to Him, 'You are the Christ.' Then He strictly warned them that they should tell no one about Him." And I've always wondered why He did that. Why did He tell them not to tell it? But I really think that this is the answer. I think the answer is because there was still so much that they did not yet know about him. Because what did Peter say? He said, did he say, "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world"? No, he said, "You are the Christ. You are the Son of God." They knew Jesus. They knew the teacher. They knew the rabbi. But I wonder if they really knew the Lamb. And I ask that question because think about the disciples' reaction when Jesus was arrested. Think about their reaction when he was crucified, when he hung on that tree. If they would have known the Lamb, Peter wouldn't have lopped off the guard's ear because he would have understood that Jesus had to go to that tree and die for our sins. Perhaps the reason why Jesus said, "Don't go and tell anybody this yet," is because they just didn't know. They knew Jesus, but they didn't know the Lamb. As we get closer and closer to Easter, I'd like for us to reflect on who Jesus is. Jesus is, as Chuck Swindoll wrote, the source of all truth. And as Christians, we recognize that. Jesus is the one who baptizes in eternal life. He comes so that we might live. But Jesus is also the Lamb. And unless we really know Jesus is the Lamb, the one who would lay down his life for us, we can't have that eternal life. There are so many people in the world today who are walking around and they know Jesus. They know Jesus, the Son of God. They know Jesus, the teacher. But they don't know Jesus, the Lamb. As we close this morning, I'd ask you to bow your heads with me. And I just want to ask that question one more time. Have you come to know the Lamb of God? Are you washed in that precious blood that was spilled out from the Lamb of God? I want you to think about, is there a time in your life where you can definitively say that, yes, I asked the Lamb of God who spilled His blood for me to forgive me of my unrighteousness and of my sin? And if you're here this morning and you can identify that time whenever you came to know the Lamb, you can just say to yourself, hallelujah, and praise God that you come to know Him. But if you're here this morning and you can't, you might not know the specific date, but if you can't identify a time whenever you clearly came to know that Jesus is your Lamb, today's the day that you need to come to know Him. It's well past time to give yourself over to Him and allow Him to forgive you of your sins. Lord, as we pray this morning, I often say, I don't know everybody's mind. I don't know everybody's heart. And Lord, I've laid out a couple scenarios for people this morning, and one of them is if they've come to know Your Son, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world, say hallelujah. Say praise the Lord for that. But Lord, the other scenario I've laid out here today is one where somebody can't identify a time when they gave themselves over to Your Son. Lord, I pray for that one, that two, that might need to make a choice today, a choice to follow, a choice to accept that gift, a choice to really know, as John did, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Lord, I pray that you would just move in this moment and in this time and speak to one who might need that forgiveness today, who might need that salvation, who might need that precious and special gift. Today's a day, any day's a day when you can accept what's been given so graciously from you. Lord, thank you for sending a Redeemer so that we might be baptized in the Holy Spirit, so that we might be baptized eternally into your kingdom and into your care. Lord, we thank you for your word that points out very clearly to us that we can know this one and we can accept him to be our Savior. I pray, Father God, that your word would speak truth, that your word would be clear, that your word would lead those that need to be led to your altar of grace and your altar of forgiveness. We ask these things in your precious and holy name. Amen and amen.